soldiers figured that that horse had been in the army, so they were going to go after my dad like he was just a young fella, about 16 maybe. So the captain or the boss or whatever, he had to send some soldiers to some guides to protect my dad and the other fella until they got out of here, because otherwise they might have harmed them.
Yeah, sure. When was your dad born?
Golly, now in what year I should be able to know, but right offhand I don't know.
He was about
14 or 15, I believe, the time of the rebellion, so he must have been born about 1870.
Yeah.
Yes. And did he get to know a lot about the rebellion? I mean...
No, he didn't. We didn't get that much news about the rebellion. In fact, like I said before, my dad could not even sign his name. He had
No, I thought maybe by hearsay, or some people must have spread the news that there was something going on further.
Well, you see, the McDougals were living in St. Louis over there.
Yes.
And they didn't take part in the rebellion.
Yeah.
So they didn't move up, but old Maxime Lapine that was living over here, he moved up his family to Batard.
Yeah.
They had a place there where the women stayed while the men were fighting.
Yeah.
They had it pretty rough over there. Our neighbor woman there, she remembers when they were telling her that they were eating little puppy dogs, like, you know, they had nothing to eat, no meat. So they were eating dog meat.
Sure.
And they were, the women were staying in away from the battlefield, out in the bush someplace, so they'd hide there. I remember one story my mother was telling us, that she was just a little girl. She was about 13 or 14. And they were along the river when the boat went by.
Yeah.
The North Coast. And so they went over the bank to look at this boat.
Mm-hmm.
And by golly, and they started to shoot at them. They heard the bullets whiz.
Mm-hmm.
So they went and hide right away. They laid down. So here, my grandmother, to show that they didn't know what the protection of a bullet was, she had a big piece of bark and she put over her head, so she was going to get safety.
That's a shield, eh?
Yeah.
Dumont must have been a well-known person in this area, right? Gabriel Dumont.
Gabriel Dumont, well, he was from Batard up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was so well-known, people probably talked a lot about him, didn't they?
Oh, they talked, well, you know, but it is rather queer a bit. They didn't seem to, I know that the Lapines, we never used to hear much about them. The only one that we might have heard about the rebellion would have been Ambrose Lapine.
Yeah.
Come from Winnipeg, up, he come and visit my father-in-law.
Uh-huh.
A couple times. But us kids, you know, we were just young fellas. And we wouldn't dare go and start talking to the old men like that. We'd listen if there were... But I never happened to meet the man, so I've never heard him talking. But it seems that they weren't that fond of talking about the rebellion either, because they got beat or that they lost out everything. You know, because... like Ambrose Lapine, he lost out everything. He lost his rights, and in fact, they were talking of hanging him.
Mm-hmm.
But like my old grandfather, Maxime Lapine, well, they put him in jail. So I suppose they didn't think it was quite an honor to have to talk about it, because they had got the wrong end of the battle, and things that went wrong with them all the way. So.
Mm. You think they might be scared to talk about it?
Well,
so
maybe
they had a part in it, that this would come up and they might still get
it. It could have been.
Yeah.
Because you see, them old people that weren't educated and they didn't know too much. like the women especially, well, they didn't know what it was all about, some of them, and so it wasn't too interesting. This is old buildings where these old people lived, like Lemuelettes lived here.
That looks nice, I think. We should take a picture here.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah. View was Lemuelette.
Lemuelette.
Uh-huh. Her dad was an old RCMP at one time.
Oh.
But he was an old Metis person, though, but he was in the RCMP, but I don't know how long or anything. But that was old Charles Violette.
Mm-hmm. It's an old log cabin, actually, isn't it?
That's right.
What would they have used for a window?
For windows? Mm-hmm. They had window paint.
So they used window paint.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had window
paint.
That
must have been a hell of a time to transport that glass to this place.
Well, by golly, you know, I don't know how they done it. But
oh.
Those.
What's that down? Ducks or geese?
Would you see that across the river?
No, on the river.
On the river.
Four birds. So in probably it's geese.
It could be geese.
So your grandmother was somewhere over there when the Northcote came down, right?
They were further up. I showed you where they lived.
Yeah.
That was the lady that I was talking about was Mrs. Maxime Lapine.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was with her mother. Mm-hmm. And you see that thing there where the pines are?
Yeah.
This is a story, but it could be a true story, though. There's quite a pit there. And they still call it the Buffalo Pit. They say that the old buffalo hunters used to chase the buffalo.
Buffalo
chase them
into the pit.
I've been to a place in Alberta, Head Smashed in it's called, and the Indian is just like a cut, and they would chase the buffalo over that, and they would fall and smash, and the buffalo jump, exactly.
Yeah, well, this here is what they call the buffalo pit, and you see that over there is what we call the pilgrimage, the St. Laurent pilgrimage. That's a Roman Catholic celebration every year on the 16th of July, I believe. Yeah, 16th of July. And I think you can see the tower of the church over there.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's and that there is what they call the Buffalo Pit. And there's two white birds there, but that's not it.
Those are seagulls.
Yeah.
No, they might be swans. No, they're seagulls, I think.
Yeah, seagulls is what they are. My eyesight is not what it used to be, but I can still see the tower over there and things mm-hmm. like that, so it's not too bad.
No.
And this old building here, I didn't know this building was that close to the
water,
it's
sitting right on there.
Yeah, I didn't know that because I have stopped here. They used to sell homebrew.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you've been here sometimes, huh?
Well, when I was a young fella, you know, we were going to dances sometimes. Down, but that's an old building, that one.
Mm-hmm.
That could be close to 100 years. If it's not 100 years, maybe it is 100 years. You see how they cut these things?
Yeah. Was all that cut with the X?
Yeah.
And then with a saw at the end?
They must have had a cross-cut saw for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they'd cut the log that length,
mm-hmm.
and then they'd fit it into that. Yeah. Oh, that's that for that.
That's great, you know, to see all those places
that
you've only read about so far.
You have read about some of them, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well. You do call a man. But...
No, that's true. Oh, they had a root cellar, huh?
Yeah.
And an upstairs. There's some steps up there.
There's an upstairs.
That's where they'd sleep, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And was that like the summer kitchen or what?
No, that there is the summer kitchen. Well, it wasn't the summer kitchen, it was really the kitchen.
The kitchen,
yeah.
For the winter too, huh?
A bit unstable here. Almost like
But you can still see the glasses and the... That's probably where they kept the home brew, huh?
Yeah, they kept their home brew, probably.
And I noticed you got to this place where they have the home brew, and what did you go? To the outhouse.
Yeah, there used to be an outhouse, all right. Uh-huh. But this was the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had their stove in here and mm-hmm. everything.
How would they heat the room back there?
Well, they'd have another stove in there another stove pipe.
Well, there's a stove. There was a... I think there must
have been... These were stove pipes. They didn't have chimneys.
Yeah.
And look at the pegs they put in their logs there to hold them together.
Yeah. Did you ever suggest that to him?
I never thought of it when I talked to him. He's still living at the age of 90-some years of age, but geez, I don't know where, either in B.C. maybe, or in Calgary, I'm not just too sure. It was Ali we called her. She sold more than one bottle of brew.
What did they make the brew from?
Well, they used to make that, it depends. They used to make it out of, if you wanted to make the good stuff, you would make it out of prunes and then distill it.
Oh, you mean it was not just a brew, it was a distilled stuff.
Yeah.
So it was white lightning or something.
Yeah.
Prunes, yeah.
They'd make it out of prunes, or sometimes they'd make it out of, what the heck did they call that?
Potatoes?
Maybe some, yeah, but...
Wheat?
Some wheat, but this other stuff I was going to mention there was, you buy that to feed cattle and stuff. It's
molasses? No.
No, it's... isn't that a bugger when you can't remember things like that?
It'll come back.
Oh, yeah, it'll come back, but... There, we were talking about that there road allowance. There was somebody living on that road allowance. That's
uh-huh.
one.
Oh.
We were talking about squatting.
On this one.
On that one we just passed, yeah.
Uh-huh.
There was an old bachelor living there.
But that road was never built, right?
No.
It was just a
close to the river.
Access to the river.
And nobody used it, so he built on there.
So there's a ferry coming out.
Yeah, ferry.
Oh, there's another abandoned house. Well, that's a bigger one.
That one there was a Ferguson's lived there. That one wouldn't be quite as old as the other one, I don't think.
No, it doesn't look like it.
It also has a
brick chimney.
Oh, yeah, brick chimney. Yeah, you can tell
it's going to fall soon.
You can tell it's not as old. Bran, I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
Bran. Yeah.
So here's the cable ferry, isn't it? Coming up there on the right.
This here is the cable ferry. Yeah. Saint Laurent ferry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the shrine is across the river over there.
Is that the place where they have the cable?
No. Yeah, that's the cable on
that's
top.
That's one of the cable
on top
ferries.
Of that, you see that that tower there. You can just drive down there if you like.
Okay.
I think it's operating on demand, right? I mean, so if you'd like to cross, you just go, and then the ferryman takes you over.
Yeah, yeah.
It operates from early in the morning until, I think, 8 o'clock at night or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's certain hours. Yeah. It used to be when my dad was ferryman in Fenton in 17 and 18, he didn't have no assistant, and he would cross day and night.
Mm-hmm.
There was no stop, and he didn't have no assistant. Sometimes he didn't have dinner till way on in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, this is as far as we have to go. We can turn here. We're just looking around.
Okay.
You see, there's the cable that takes the ferry across.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's another cable with those pulleys up at the top there, and they whirl across. Yeah. This is an old pavilion there was this was going on. I'm going to take my coat off too.
It's getting warm, huh?
Going through it, cattle go through it. They tramp through it and it gets, in fact, it's hard for the cattle to get through in places. They must get. While this here is a slough, it's watered and what kind of bird is this? This is a blackbird. They bunch up in the fall.
They go south, huh?
So this here you see a slough, I guess it's good land all around. While a muskeg is soft ground and we call that boggy.
Yeah. That's rap, huh?
That there is
raps.
It's well, let's see now again what you call that. It's not, sometimes it's mustard. There is mustard.
Mustard. Oh, maybe yeah. It's mustard.
It could be mustard or it could be mustard or
rap. What's this, Gabriel? What's this?
Duck Lake.
That's Duck Lake.
Maybe we could drive up and we'd see where they had their first little battle.
This is what we would like to go to.
Yeah.
So we should have...
We'll go there then.
Right away or after lunch?
Well, we might as well go right away.
Okay.
There is something like, it's indicated, a Louis Riel room there. What is that?
Where did you see that?
Up there is a signpost, a Louis Riel room.
Louis Riel room? I don't know.
Oh, it's probably where he stayed, you know, when he was up in Duck Lake or something. Maybe a little historical place.
I think we'll go straight up and we'll go for dinner after. There's lots of time. It's only 12 o'clock now.
Okay.
See.
Yeah, but I mean after dinner if you want to stop at the museum.
We can see how we make on time and but let's take a look at the battle site first.
We'll go that way. It's about 2 miles out there. That's where they met.
Crozier.
Yep.
That's the mounted police actually.
Yep.
And he was coming from Fort Carlton, wasn't he? On his way up to battlefield.
Yeah, that's right. He was coming. There's what we call Duck Lake. You see that lake over there?
Uh-huh. Is this part of it here?
Yeah, I would think so. It's not far apart anyway. And Duck Lake was dry. They were farming that maybe 10, 15 years ago. And here all at once it filled in.
Uh-huh.
And when it filled in again, people had machinery and stuff in their fields, but that all filled in and never dried up.
Sure. So the machinery is still down there.
So there'd be some machinery there yet.
It's much larger than I thought, you know.
It's quite a size lake, yeah. And that's not a deep lake, though, because like I told you, it was... They were farming it here a few years ago. You never were up here, eh?
No, I wasn't.
Oh.
Well, I haven't been yet, no.
I think you've been taking the odd picture. There's Indian Reserve, I think. Point of interest, right here. Right here.
Oh, is this where the post was?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Duck Lake in my young days.
Yeah.
We never came here except on the Duck Lake Sports Day. I never knew about this till 85.
Uh-huh.
This area here much. Voulu la première rencontre, eu la première rencontre. Entre les troupes du gouvernement du Canada, commandées par le major Crozier et les métis tiens, commandé par Gabriel Dumas.
Oui.
But it, up there it's in English.
Would that be the same kind of French that you would be speaking? Would you be using those words, or how would you say it?
Well, pretty well the same. Ici, ici, mon chéri. C'est ici le 26 de mars en 1885 que Gabriel Dumont a rencontré les troupes du gouvernement, commandé par le major Crozier. Les métis et les les métis dans le temps. Les métis, les Indiens, commandés par Gabriel Dumont.
On dit Indien quand.
Ben, nous autres, on dit.
Sauvage, hein?
Dans le temps, on disait ça. But you can't dare say that now.
I know, but I heard you use the word yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know Paul Chartrand said.
That's what we used to say before.
Uh-huh.
Les métis, les chavages.
Ah, chavages.
But les chavages, but nowadays.
It's a bad term, right?
They don't stand for that.
No, I understand.
But the way you applied the term sauvage, I mean, that was not a form of discrimination.
No, but it wasn't. We didn't talk as discrimination. But nowadays, them days we talk like that to them, and they didn't mind it that much.
No, mm-hmm. No.
But nowadays, though, it's different.
How would the Indians have called you?
Well, they would have said Limichev.
Limichev.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Limichev. Mm-hmm.
And the Hudson's Bay people, the English-speaking people, what would they say?
Well, they are most likely those that could only talk English would say the Metis people.
The
most
Metis,
likely.
Most likely. But Howard uses half-breed.
Well, we used to use half-breeds.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Yeah, the half-breeds. That's what we used.
But do you know what MacDonald used, the kind of term? He spoke of half-castes.
Oh, half-castes.
Yeah.
Which is quite a different story, isn't it?
It is.
And he didn't even get hanged for it.
No. Well, if they didn't listen to me, I told them that that's the one they should have hung.
Sure.
So that there is a little bit of writing. That's about all the writing there is.
Uh-huh. There's another marker.
Because they started shooting at them, you know, out of the ravine. The soldiers were coming up sort of on top, you know, and you could see them up somehow, and the Métis were surrounding them and then were attacking them from underneath. Well, that would have been.
I'm not sure. But they were in some place.
It must be somewhere here. Yeah.
They maybe could have been hiding over the little knoll.
Well, the sites might have changed a bit with the road here now.
That could be.
Some people having partied here in here, huh?
I suppose.
Well, it looks like it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, watch out, that's glass.
That's all right. Yeah. Over there.
Yeah, let's have a look at that.
Yeah.
Turn it off, right? You turned it. I mean, they came from Fort Carlton, going towards Battlefield, you know.
Towards Duck Lake.
Yeah, and it happened at Duck Lake that they were ambushed, you know. That is crazy. And then they met here, of course, and there was negotiation. And then it started when that one shot was fired, and so that's how it all began. But I suppose they must have sort of, you know, met each other here, I guess.
That's where they met.
That's
here.
Where they met, but still they were matey, you know, sort of hiding around, because when it all started, you know, they were not just shooting at them, but they were sort of firing at them from, I suppose you call that stuff ravine, from ravines, and so I don't know
could
where that
been,
would have been, anywhere
been
there, right?
Yeah, so could have been there.
I suppose so.
But
I mean, it was not a very large-scale operation. It was
very
few people,
just,
of course.
I think there was only two people killed.
Yeah, there were just a few killed.
And a few RCMP.
Yes.
That were killed.
Well, it was practically all RCMP anyways, because it was Crozier's troop. He was on his way to Battlefield to send some relief up there.
Battleford.
Yeah. Well, I guess I maybe heard some of the story, but if we'd happened to...
No, the interesting thing being, of course, the way it was reported in the East, you know, it was turned into a huge affair that some Métis people, you know, had attacked an RCMP troop.
Yeah.
Altogether, it was a fairly minor operation, you know, if you look at it in terms of, well, modern warfare or anything alike. But the way it was presented in the East and, you know, people like MacDonald received it, it gave them a chance to really, you know, make propaganda and...
Against the Métis
and make a point here that it was absolutely necessary to send out the troops.
Well, I guess that's it here then. We were having a party there, and we were talking about our cheese and kites. And so anyway, my daughter was saying, and she was 49 that year, I guess. And she was telling us that she had never seen me drunk. That was the first time she'd seen me drunk, so I don't get drunk very often.
No.
No, I've never been. When I was a younger fella, I never used to drink much. To take the odd drink, went to a party.
Mm-hmm.
And, but now my favorite drink is dark rum and Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
I take the odd drink, like last night when this company come, we had a little bit of wine in a jug. And we took a couple of drinks of wine, but the wine was all gone, and that's all we had to drink, so we didn't drink it anymore. We just, when we play cards, we sometimes take a drink.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are the young people of St. Louis doing on weekends?
On weekends, they go to PA quite a bit.
They go to Prince Albert.
And sometimes they have little parties around San
Diego. Yeah. But your daughter's place is really the only place where one could go out for, you know, I mean, could go out and have a drink at night or so.
And that's the only place.
So they would usually have entertainment on the weekends?
Well, not every weekend. They have that, at least I don't think so. But they've been starting to have that more often. They started once a month anyway, and so here now they have it because it seems that when there's music, there's a bigger
more customer.
Yeah, because now you know the money scarce and liquor's expensive, so people don't drink as much as they used to.
Yeah.
But it's a place where people would go even, you know, let's say on a Monday night for a drink or so.
Oh, yeah, you can stop in any night.
Mm.
Yeah. And
I think that's just what we might be doing.
So we are going out for a drink tonight.
Yeah.
Place.
Yeah. You want to come along?
Well, it's used that are driving. So I was driving, I take one drink if I'm driving. But
if we're staying at her place, it's just
then you're all right. Yeah,
you don't have to drive.
No, you can just walk up.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So I might go and have a drink.
You don't have to drive either. See, it's within walking distance, isn't
it? That's right. No, I might join in and have a drink of rum with you.
Okay.
Yeah. But like I say, I take a couple of drinks because the little drinks, an ounce of liquor, you know, you take two drinks.
Yeah.
The other night when we went to that party,
mm-hmm.
in fact, I had three, they give you an ounce, from 9 o'clock till about 11:30. And then after we had them three drinks, I had three drinks of rum. We went to visit my daughter, and she gave us sandwiches and coffee.
Have you got some milk?
So anyway, we after we had lunch, and even myself with three little drinks of rum, I wouldn't have been impaired, I don't think.
No.
But I wouldn't have took a chance to drive home right at the time.
No.
But after we had lunch and we sat up there and visited a while, then I knew I was safe.
Yeah.
Because you see, it's dangerous for me to lose my license. I'd never get it back.
No.
And it's so handy to drive around
I go out to the farm 10 miles out. That's nothing. Mm. I can come to Duck Lake. I don't mind that. Mm. But I don't go to PA with my car.
No, no. Where is the next RCMP station?
The next what?
RCMP station, the next police station.
RCMP would be, I believe there's RCMP in Birch Hills, that's 17 miles east. And then there's RCMP in Walker, about 18, 20 miles south. But they come to St. Louis quite often.
They do?
Oh, yeah. Quite often. And if you give them a ring, they come pretty quick. I threw one RCMP out of my house one time.
Oh.
But we were celebrating my birthday. My birthday's on the 29th of December. And I didn't realize, I suppose I had had a couple of drinks, and this cop grabbed me by the shoulder. And when he grabbed me, he didn't know that I was going to do this, but I grabbed him faster than he grabbed me, and I put him right through the door.
So what happened afterwards?
Then he wanted to get in his car, and I don't know for what reason. I stepped in behind the door, and I wouldn't let him get in his car, but I knew afterwards why he wanted to get in. You see, he wanted to phone for help.
Sure.
And because we were having a little party, there was four or five guys of us there, and my son was there, and he was the one they were coming for, and I didn't know that they were coming for him. So, you know, the cop was wrong in doing what he did, but I didn't go to court about it. I let them have it. So anyway, here, I should have never spoke English. Uh-huh. And if I wouldn't have spoke English, there would have been no trouble, because these fellows couldn't understand French. And I was giving hell to my boy because he had got in trouble in the hotel. Uh-huh. And they were coming to pick him up. And I didn't know that till they got there. So then these two cops were standing in the door. And I seen that my boy was getting ready to go with them. So I was giving them hell for having got in trouble over there. So when I finished my conversation with them, I told them, I said, if there's any trouble between me and Cushy, I said, leave it to me, I said. And I was pretty mad, you know. Mm-hmm. This cop figured I had no business to say leave it to me, that I was going to get even with the other guy. Mm-hmm. So he grabbed me, but just as he laid his hands on me, I made a move and I put him right through the door. And then when I come back in, the other cop was standing in the corner of the porch. You see, when my boy seen that I was getting in trouble with the cop, he jumped to take my help, and he either kicked or hit this cop. I don't know what he did, but he knocked him in the corner as I was going out. And so I went out, and so here, this cop, he didn't try to push me aside out there. He just stood there. So then I walked in, and when I walked in, the cop was standing with his revolver in his hand.
Oh.
And my wife and another woman were holding my boy in the corner so he didn't try to fight over his mother.
Sure.
And so here, anyway, they took him and brought him to sleep in jail that night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, because he had been in trouble in the hotel with a couple guys down there. So anyway, I went and got information from a lawyer, and he told me, he said, that guy that grabbed you, he said he had no business at all. He said he had no rights to touch you because he said you were in your own house.
Exactly.
And I wasn't interfering with him.
Mm.
And if I would have said this in French, you see, he wouldn't have understood, and he wouldn't have done nothing to me.
That's
and
right.
Then that would have saved me the trouble of having to throw him out, and then my boy would not have kicked this other guy, maybe.
Sure. Yeah.
So anyway, this way it caused a lot of trouble. Yeah. So then when I told this lawyer about what had happened, he told me, he said, we'll put this guy that grabbed you up for assault, he said he had no business to touch you. And the guy, he said, that pulled that revolver, he said, we'll take his suit off for him. He said he had no business whatever to draw a gun because his mother and this other lady were holding him, of course. He did either knock him down or kicked him. I don't know what happened, but he knocked him on the floor. And thanks. So here, the next morning, one of my nephews come over to my place. He heard about the trouble we had. He said, where's Butch? He said, well, I said, they took him in last night. I said, I'm going to go in and see what's going on over there. Well, he said, how are you fixed financially? He said, I said, well, I got a few dollars, but not too much. Well, he said, Uncle, he said, I'll go with you. And so here I'm talking, I'm not eating.
Go ahead.
But anyway, here,
the tomato.
By golly, you know, the cops, they were kind of worried about what they had done. They knew that they hadn't done the right thing, but they didn't think that maybe we'd ever come after them, but they weren't sure. So here, they had the court for my boy that morning, and we thought that they'd keep him in jail maybe because that was the weekend before New Year's, the 29th, and that was the 30th that we were there, see? So we thought they'll wait till after New Year's. But by golly, but they were really up late that morning. They went in, and this guy that my boy had hit, for some reason, I don't know, but he maybe had kicked him too for all I know. But anyway, he was in the hospital. Oh. So they went and got him in the hospital and brought him to the trial, and they cleared my boy out. And so here, he wasn't in jail at all that morning. They took him out. So we found out, they said, we went to the police office, and they said, the RCMP are taking him back to St. Louis.
Where?
So, oh well, then that was okay. So everything was settled, but he still had to pay a fine of $62 for the trouble he caused in the hotel. So, but then when this lawyer wanted us to go after the cops, I started to think, you know, if my boy wouldn't have started the trouble in the hotel, that wouldn't have happened at my place either. And I didn't like to go to court with the RCMP. So, but some were telling me, boy, you missed your chance. You should have really went back.
Le Capot?
Le Capot? Le Capot, yeah. Le Capot de... What the hell? Anyway, then they'd put a sash around it.
Yeah.
But I never wore sash. I never did till 85 when we were going to
Batoche. For the
memorial, yes. And then they'd have to be up there sometimes speaking French.
Yeah.
And then I'd wear a sash. And in fact, I was given...
Was it given to you by somebody, or?
Well, I have had a couple given to me. I had one given to me by the Meta Society after I went to Ottawa. When we come back and celebrated in St. Louis, the Meta leaders were pretty well all there, and they give me a sash.
One of these very colorful ones with bright.
Well, it wasn't. It's not as nice as the ones my dad had. My dad had red ones.
Yeah.
Checkered red, but the one that got here, checkered blue. I'll show you this one, you know.
Yeah. And where would your dad have got his sash from? I mean, would his wife have?
Well, my dad, in them days, there was quite a few sashes. There was quite a few people wearing sashes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He maybe bought it in a store for all I know.
I see.
But I got mine given through being in. When I received that order of Canada, the medicine.
You also have an eagle feather, huh?
Yes, I have an eagle feather from Maria Campbell.
Oh, she gave that to you.
Yeah. I met them down the road one day. I used to walk, about 3 or 4 years ago, I used to walk 2 miles out and 2 miles back, and That was before I got that heart attack. And, so here one day I met this truck, and oh, there the truck started to back up. So I stopped. And this was Maria Campbell and her husband, and she had this feather. I don't know how she had it, but she gave me this feather, so I got a feather.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just that I stood up for the Metis people, you know, and talked once in a while for them. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I got honors, eh? Mm-hmm. But,
Had you known Maria Campbell beforehand?
Well, I hadn't known her a little bit before by Batosh. I met her there before.
Yeah.
Because there was meetings sometimes, and I've been with the society since the 30s, and after Howard left, well, we had meetings sometimes, and I met her at these mm-hmm. meetings.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know her too well, but I'm getting to be more acquainted with her now.
Mm-hmm.
I know her a bit.
Is her book well known among the Métis or in the Métis community? Her book, Half-Breed, is that well known among Métis?
Well, you know, us people don't read.
Well, mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a poor reader.
Mm-hmm.
But in my life, I had no time to read.
Mm-hmm.
When I worked for the IRM, of course, you'll say, well, you could have took time at nights. But, you know, we used to start working at 6 o'clock in the morning, go to 7 o'clock at night, and long days working at night, we'd have supper, and we were willing to go to bed. We didn't want to sleep, but we didn't want to read all night. I never was a reader.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I worked for the farmers, well, it was the same thing. I worked for farmers for 2, 3, 5, 4, 9. I worked for 9 years for farmers before I started to work for the IRM. And there you'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and sometimes go to 8 o'clock at night. And after you come in from your day's work, you talked and visited a little bit. And you knew you had to get up at 5 next morning, so you didn't start to read all night. Some people read all night, but you know. But I've never. And if I read, then I want to fall asleep. So mm-hmm. if I'm doing anything, I don't read.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not much of a reader, because I got some good books. I got this half-read book, you know, mm-hmm. called, and I got I think I'll have to show you a few of them books
mm-hmm.
I got
mm-hmm.
because I've even got I've got a book of Tommy Douglas and a book of I'm right offhand, I wouldn't be able to name them, but I'll show you.
Oh, yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah, yeah. We'd like to see that.
I was only wondering what the Métis would think of her book of Half-Breed, you know, whether they would like it.
Well, really offhand, I wouldn't be able to tell you, because if I read a book, even if I read it, like sometimes I'll take, to pass the time, I'll read something, but I forget about the bloody
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
What I talk about is only what I've remembered about
sure.
knowledge of what we heard before.
Mm-hmm.
But to read a book, it's pretty hard for me to remember the
mm-hmm.
bloody thing.
Sure.
But I got a few. I got Prison of Grass.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got some of the books about Batosh in 1885. There, you know, this Diane Pema from Winnipeg. She sent me the whole book, and she sent me because she'd meet me when she'd come out here. She's an historian,
mm-hmm.
and so she'd come to my place and look
mm-hmm.
for pictures, and
mm-hmm.
she. Meet me in Batosh and come and talk to me because I talk French.
Mm-hmm.
So I know some of them people,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and like I say, because I got up and said a few things sometimes, well, you know, oh, that's that Midrick McDougall, and you know, they recognize me. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, because there's a lot of half-breed people, you know, they don't get up and say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be like that too. I wouldn't have got up and said anything. But after I got talking a little bit, you know, sometimes they'd make me mad a little bit, then I'd get up and
Some of the boys from St. Louis, maybe, but like the McDougals, they had been in Winnipeg, and I don't think they had taken part in Winnipeg either, but they seen what had happened down there, but they didn't care to get into the rebellion here. So,
would you think that there was only very few of the Métis people who really took part in within the rebellion, and most of them stayed out of it?
There was some stayed out, but the most of them took part. I would say maybe 300.
I think it was up to 500, actually, at the most, of course.
500?
Possibly, I mean, yeah, 300 to 500, something like that.
500, yeah.
As opposed to some 8,000 Canadians, you know,
so
who came.
So you see, 300 to 500 people would take in quite a lot of the men.
Mm.
So that would be pretty well all the volunteers.
And when people think about it now, I could imagine that those whose ancestors took part in it, that they're quite proud about it. Or maybe not, I don't know. And others whose ancestors did not take part in it, how do they feel about it? I mean, do you talk about that?
Well, the most of us are proud of what they did because we think that they did that completely in their rights.
Sure.
So by them defending their rights, we are proud that they did this.
Yeah.
Because we think that the government was wrong in not accepting to listen to them, and you know, when they were making certain demands, which was the demands were really in the right, so there's nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
Why is it that most...